AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's Dream Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segreed, it's your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast. And your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Dream Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Where every day is New Year's Eve.
That's right. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be, hopefully it's what it should be. This is your boy N.O.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Chats Podcast. Make some noise! Now, 100%, when me and my partner to the left of me, DJ EFN, we started this podcast, we wanted to say that we wanted to salute the legends. Yep. There's so many people that after you have 10 years, you have, you know, 15 years, you know, 20 years in this game, people want to ride you off and people want to tell you, you know, you're old and all that. But that's not what we do here. Yep. What we do here is we want to respect our legends. We want to let these people know. We want to give them their flowers where they can smell them, their trees where they can hell them, their thoughts where they can think them, and their drinks where they can drink them. And today,
wow,
we have people who I felt like they literally raised me from being from Queens. I'm being from down the block from where they from, Elmhurst. Being from Left Rack City. I'm just so honored. I went and I watched House Party again.
Oh, we are.
And I just went and just did, because you know I wanted to do the research, and I forgot how much of a fan. Like, I'm starstruck right now, to tell you the truth. I mean, and so I would like to welcome to the building, Kid and Mike. Craziest thing about y'all's story, salute by the way. Here's the craziest thing about y'all's story is, Play, you were the wild guy back then.
Go ahead.
That's what they say. They say you was looked up the Fat Cat, Pappy Mason, like.
Those were my heroes, man. Wow. I was a knucklehead. Wow. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the kind of heroes a lot of cats have today. You right. know, there was no rap stars. And from my upbringing, you know, my father being out there
right.
and the black exploitation films and all right. that, I thought that's all it was for us, you know. So then when we seeing these ghetto celebrity
super
stars,
fly, like
you know
that,
what I'm
yeah.
saying, with the Benzes yeah. and the BMWs and all that good stuff, I thought that's all it was for me. Because when right. cats was in the school, you right. know, the firemen and the president of the bank coming talking about how to be successful. I didn't know nothing about what the heck they were talking about. Talk to me about roaches in the house.
Shower in the sheepskin.
Talk to me about no heat in the house. Fly, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not seeing the Mark IV, Continental Mark IVs and all of that. So I was stupid, man. Right. To God be the glory.
Well, we here, baby.
I dragged him out the so he was doing bad.
So, kid, because I follow what you do, and I know you got a close relationship with Bill Moore.
Yes, I do.
Bill Moore, who is a person I idolize.
HBO Bill Moore.
I don't know if I say the name right.
Politically incorrect, Bill Moore.
Right? So Bill Moore recently.
He on probation right now.
Yeah, I was about to ask. He on black probation.
Oh, for what he said.
I told him, I said, you say nigga one more time, I ain't gonna be able to save you. You get one fucking mulligan.
Did you speak to him since then?
Oh, yeah. We had dinner like a few weeks back.
Bill tells me when I'm not around, he's play with Kid and Play. When I'm not around.
Yeah, well, you know,
we celebrated his birthday in Vegas a couple of years back. And he's like, I'm the play when you're not around.
Yeah.
You all right, champ?
I'm excited.
Yeah, he's been a close friend since the mid '90s, and you know.
Did you do his original shows?
Politically Incorrect. Yeah. I probably did that about 20 times, I think I was on the finale episode as well. You know, he got into that trouble with back in the Iraq War days and stuff like that. You know, 9/11 shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back again on HBO, and I actually did the a couple of buddies in mine did the theme music for Real Time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they switched it up last year for some reason. I don't know. It wasn't broke, but he's been good to me, and you know, he's one of those guys that over the years he's kind of taught me a lot. He's probably one of the smartest, if not the smartest, dude that I know.
So I idolize the guy.
Yeah, I think we've had a positive kind of impact. I've tried to have him enjoy his success a little bit more.
I'll know politics through his show.
Right.
Because I'll just like to smoke weed and I just look at his shit and I'll be like,
We smoke pounds.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, because you guys' career, like when I went and I went and looked back, you guys. You were like one of the first transitions, like meaning you guys had an album, or in the movie, you just started a movie right after that.
You know what's so funny? The only thing I ever wanted.
How hard that shit is to do nowadays.
The only thing I ever wanted was a single.
Get the fuck out.
For the women. That's all I wanted. It was just a 12-inch single. That's me and Eric B. Just get us and we good. I was good already. Right. But that was going to be like, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I never in my wildest dreams it'd be a full album, music videos, movies, cartoon series, Marvel comic strip. And one time there was, Mattel was talking about her toys at one time for us, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all had the Saturday morning cartoon joint, right?
First rappers ever had cartoons.
What I'm asking is, how did you make that
transition? What people don't know is Reggie Hudlin, who wrote and directed the original House Party, was a video director back in the days. And he used to chase, me in particular, he used to chase me down in clubs because he wanted to shoot a music video on us. But we had a guy at that time, so we were cool. Then one time he stepped to me and was like, yo, excuse me, I got a movie script for y'all. And he was like, what? So back then, it was in our crew, like me, Play, and the Herbie Lovebug producer. It was kind of like my job to read stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Because I couldn't read. I got kicked out of five schools.
So I graduated
with honors from Herbie Lehman College, with a degree in English literature. So we got the script, and I remember reading it, and I remember coming back and telling Play and Herbie. I said, you know what? It's like 70% there. Like, the structure was really strong. The characters were fleshed out. It was the original script for House Party.
And it was written for you guys? Because I heard it was Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince.
Reggie and them wanted us to do it because they was familiar with our videos and stuff. Right. They felt it was a good fit. New Line Cinema wanted Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff because they felt it was a better bang to edge their bets.
Right.
But at the time, they were suing Will and Jeff Nightmare on My Street.
Right.
And Jeff and them is like, what are you, crazy? He wants to do a movie and you suing us?
Right.
So they weren't with it. But Reggie and Warrington always wanted us to do it.
So you were already, originally, conceptually, they were always thinking about you.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of based on childhood friends. And I think it was, even with Groove Be Chill and all of them, I think they had a place in it as well.
Who wrote that line before Forskip saying, I smell pussy?
This is what I'm going with.
Okay.
So I read the joint. I felt like it was 70% there, but and I thought we could bring it the rest of the way. Like, okay. We could hip-hop legitimize it.
Okay.
And so, you know, I urge the, you know, I urge the guys that
we ought to do it. I didn't want to do it.
Right. So, but this is what happened. To his credit, Reggie Hudlin let us do basically what we wanted to. He was saying stuff like, look, here's the structure. Here's the format. Now, if there's a better way to say it, to get to where we got to get to, if there's a more hip-hop and a legitimate way to say it, do it that way. Mm. So he allowed us to do that. And in particular, Full Force, all that stuff that Full Force did, made up all that stuff. All that I smell, all that kick your fucking ass, all that. They made up all that. Yeah. They made up all of that stuff. And that's one of the great things that we liked about Reggie, because he let us do our thing. Now, if it came to something really, really crucial that he thought was crucial to the scene or something like that, maybe he would hold a fort on that. But for the most part, you know, he kind of let us do our thing and let the hip hop come out. And truth be told,
I didn't want to do the movie because at the time we was making crazy money with the music.
Right.
And I felt
and you would think. Pardon me for cutting
it's
you
all
off.
Good.
But at that time, when people would do commercial things or movies, they would say that they went commercial or something like that.
You sell out. You straight sell out.
That wasn't my reason at the time. Okay. I felt we was making great money. Mm. I'm looking at the history of hip-hop in movies, because prior to that, we had Wild Style, and we can't forget Tougher Than Leather.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we can't forget it.
So I'm like, if Run DMC can't pull off of a movie, who the heck do we think we are? Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm trying to be the business-minded one. But we had this rule among us called majority rules, and Herbie and Kid outvoted me. And it's the best
album. How many albums are you guys in?
How many albums were we in? Was it when we on our
just show? One?
Just one, yeah.
Yeah, just two. Just do that, two albums.
No, it was two hype. When we did Funhouse, that was us building off the popularity of the movie. Yeah, that's why we called it Funhouse. Because of legal reasons, we couldn't call it House Party, so that's why we called it Funhouse.
So it couldn't be the legitimate soundtrack of
the movie? No, we did joints on the soundtrack, too. Yeah. I mean, we did joints on the soundtrack, too. We actually, they were like competing against one another at the time, so.
Yeah, but look how long your career you had for one album. That's fucking.
That's the way it used to be.
That's cold word for you.
That's the way it used to be.
That's iconic style. That's careers.
Yeah, that's a career. Like most people, and just think about it nowadays. Nowadays, music is so disposable. What's a hit record today will not be a hit record by the summertime.
Show
you know
flights.
What I'm saying?
No show
flights. Remember, you used to have a hit record. Your record used to be a hit record at least for a year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Now you have a hit record
and
for
you do a music video months. Now you have to do a music video every week.
Right, right. Well, I will say this. To some people, I think the artists of today kind of, you know, they obviously have a different outlook on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the mentality back then was like, make the joint, tour, take some time off, and then run it back. Mm. Nowadays, like you said, maybe because the music is so disposable, these guys just started hitting. You know, when guys like Jay started doing, they were just like, look, as long as we're doing hot joints, let's don't give them a chance to forget about us. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because they will.
Yeah, they will.
So there's a lot about the new era of rappers, the way they approach it, that I like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for instance, I would like to hear.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I listen to so much new rap. I mean, you know, I mean,
I heard you call him the Young Thug. He was like, he's the original Young Thug.
Yeah, yeah. He was a bad dude.
We're going to get into that.
He was a bad dude.
Okay, I want to hear the dude.
Shoddy in the sheepskin, man. Shoddy in the sheepskin.
I want to hear
the No, but I mean, I listen to a lot of cats. I mean, obviously, you listen to the big ones. You know, we love the Drakes, and we love the Logics, and we love the J. Coles, and we love
Kendricks.
And a lot of, you know, underground, cats of underground, you know, send me stuff all the time. Wait, let me tell that story real quick.
It's yours.
So young artists, they kind of hit me up all the time, and they say, "Yo, man, you want to sing in this joint, man? Maybe you want to play. Maybe you want to jump on it. Maybe you and play want to jump on this joint."
I thought you were going to tell another story.
You got to tell us that story.
Yeah, man. Maybe you and play want to jump on this joint. I say, "Yo, man, send me the joint, young. You know what I'm saying? I'll peep it out." So I'm peeping out. I got the computer. I'm listening to the joint, man. And, you know, the beat is kind of rocking, man. He said, "Yo, you know, me and my man, we did a joint dedicated to y'all." I was like, "All right." So he do rhyming or whatever. Then he get to the hook. He goes, "Understand the time lived in every day. Understand, don't care what you say. Understand the day. We tag team bitches, that's that kid and play. I said, this what kid and play means?
I think you just blew that record up right now.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I said, first of all, ain't no way Play getting on this show. That's a non-starter for this dude right here. And I said, that's just even too raw for me, man. We tag team bitches that can't get it back.
Yo, but did you guys know, like, how famous that dance is?
Man, okay. Like, we got to do it in about an hour.
Yo, I heard y'all say that beat in y'all contract, for real?
No, it was a joke. Well, people tell if we don't do it, there might be a mutiny. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it's like torches like Frankenstein.
But you know, it's so funny because I was thinking, I said, you know, you look at Duda Dougie, Nene, all these dancers coming out. And I got to confess, especially I was with Dougie last night and he killed the crowd with that. But I remember when the record came out and the dance became popular, I'm like, oh, this is the end of the Kid and Play kick step. This is going to replace it. But we still good. Like, yeah, crazy still good. And I'm like, what makes this dance last this long? And it finally hit me. It's the only dance out there that takes two people.
Yeah. Exactly.
So when you want to celebrate something, you and your homeboy, your homie, or whatever, this is the dance you do.
And then people send us videos and you see online videos, everybody doing Kid and Play. You don't want to do hit a strike at the bowling alley. Do the Kid and Play.
Was there when 2 Chainz wanted to do the kid stuff with you? And then LeBron James, all of them.
I think the Kid and Play went with 2 Chainz one night. You know,
yeah,
the people just roll up on you, man. Kicking in your leg. I was like, that's not the Kid and Play.
That's the tag team.
Yeah, you're just kicking me in my leg, dude.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of 2, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Has, 1 second. Let me interrupt for a quick Drink Champs message. Did you know that every single episode of Drink Champs, and I'm talking to you, Drink Champs Army, every single episode of Drink Champs is now on Spotify. That's right. The same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. you don't really need to listen to all those podcasts, but they're on Spotify. You can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones. Like I said, just don't go too deep. Just stick with the Drink Champs, and we got you covered. But of course, you know, we got friends and affiliates that you can check out. To subscribe to our show, search for Drink Champs, tap follow, and get every new episode delivered to you. While you're on Spotify, you know, don't forget to check out Nori's page and all his music on there, and also myself, DJ EFN. Follow us on Spotify as well. But check out Drink Champs, the podcast, on Spotify. They're streaming it right now. So don't wait. Makahaya bing bong.
And how is it? Because you, so you guys technically came out in 88?
What? First album came out in 88, but our first single, Last Night, came out in 87.
Wow.
So Ask Him Play?
Last Night changed it all.
So how many years is that in the game? How many years is that? That is
87. Oh. That's almost, that's 31. 31 years.
30, God, let's make some money for
31 flavors. Yo, we call his flavors. 31 flavors.
I like that. You guys are on tour with, or you're doing a show with Smokey Robinson. I've never had a reason to be in a room with Smokey Robinson. That lets you know how fucked up my life is.
Smokey was last night.
But we've done.
You got to meet him. You know. Oh, you know Smokey already.
Yeah, I'd already met him through Suzanne DePass, who we used to produce our films. But this is the thing, and I guess it's a blessing because we've been kind of one of those hip hop groups that we can go on an all rap lineup, right. But we also, you can throw us on all R&B dudes. Like, you know, we did a show in Atlanta last year with Ron Isley, Keith Sweat, and Evelyn Champagne King, and we was the only rappers on. So that's happened a lot over the years that we were kind of the only rappers.
Come on, everybody, right together. Hola, hola, hey, hola, hola, hey.
Y'all can remix it. Roll out, roll and roll, roll. FMN no rain.
Powerful the crossover appeal is. I'll never forget when I was on Sunset Boulevard one time. It was a restaurant. And the one and only Lionel Richie. And I had to roll up on him. And
oh, you said guy, Sunset? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Sunset. Yeah. This guy, I know Lionel Richie. I know in Queens. Lionel Richie wouldn't even let me talk. Because he knew about us and just was running
that
down.
That must have felt great.
Right. Oh, yeah, man. And that happened with the Jackson. Same thing. Wow. You know, wouldn't let us get a word in edgewise.
You can't just say that.
Lionel Richie said,
roll up. You see how he said something else?
The Jacksons.
The Jacksons.
You know those guys, the Jacksons.
We like giving people they do. We fans too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yo, Luther Vandross, and we've had the honor. But when you go up and you're trying to tell them how much you admire their work, and they're cutting you off because they're telling you how much they've enjoyed your work.
Wow.
It's like surreal. Yeah. Lionel Richie
just rolled up on him and said, San Bonita, No, but you know how it is. You know, y'all come across people, you have no idea who is a fan of yours. And, but Play is right. We usually come out first with the
I just rolled up on Pieces of a Dream, man. And ran down, you know, Mallory Groove, man. 454, and they're like shot. Like, you know, but yo, we music lovers, man. Right. I'm Earth, Wind & Fire all day. He's rap. I'm old soul. You know what I'm saying?
What's the best era in hip hop to you?
The era we came out in. 88, 92.
For me, late 80s, man.
Wait, so you don't go 88 you don't go 10 years? You just went 88 to 92 then.
Yeah.
I think you're the first one ever did that.
If you look at the groups that came out at that time,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? 88 to 92. That's primarily East Coast, but toward the end, you know, 92, 93.
The West Coast.
That's when the West Coast were popping off. So I kind of circled that.
Me is the 80s.
It's a question I always needed to know. Was Kane talking about y'all when he said who's Flat Top Rules in 89?
Kane and I are great friends, and that's never come up. I've never even thought about
it. But I know what you're saying.
That was a rumor. Like, because, you know, you heard the rumor.
Didn't we ask him? No, but this is the thing. But the thing with Kane is, and this is what I always liked and admired about him, was Kane always appreciated the thrill of the competition. Like, it wasn't no beef, but it's just like, yo, you know, it's almost like that steel sharpened steel, man. You know what I'm saying? You want to do it, you want to outdo me, you want to do it. And though his his high top was a work of art. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think, you know, if that was anything, it was a friendly competition. You know, mine was probably longer, but his was like cloud. Three cuts in your eyebrow trying to wild out. You know what I mean?
Now, play
that era was great.
But let me ask you something, because since we brought it up, being that the West Coast started rising around the time you guys are bubbling, I remember as a fan, I got Kid and Play on the mixtape, and I got NWA, Eazy-E.
Oh, we got NWA stories.
So I'm wondering, how was that? Because for me, what's great about that era is the balance.
That was the first tour they ever did.
That tour that they talk about in Straight Outta Compton.
No, he was on that tour.
They just don't want to tell you that.
I got Tupac stories too.
Well, we need all those stories.
In the book. But no, with NWA, man, the interesting thing was, I remember being introduced to their music.
Right.
In LA, and at the time I could curse with the best of them. When I heard that, I was like, "Yo,
yeah. I was scared of them when I first heard."
And I'll never forget when we had been on every Public Enemy tour. Like that was the best. Chuck always wanted us on his tours, and we had just finished this night, and I'm worn out. I'm tired. And they come to me with the pitch for the next tour, and they got NWA on, and I'm like, nah, man. I mean, that's just
you already heard the music.
Yeah,
well, you straight out of Compton. When did it come out yet?
It's a bit much.
Easy does it.
But check out the story. When I came down from the after party, we ready to get into some women, the whole nine like that. I wanted my famous Pina Colada, Virgin Pina Colada, but the bar shut down. And I thought I could use my name. Like, yo, man, he's like, I don't care what noble who you are. You ain't getting no Pina Colada. So the promoter comes and says, yo, I got this thing. I said, I'm not doing this thing. I said, you know what? Let me be fair. If you give me a Pina Colada, I'll do the tour. Because I thought the bar was shut.
Right.
Daryl Brooks, G Street Productions, comes over with two Pina Coladas and a half a Pina Colada, and I had to keep my word. And we ended up doing the tour. But the reason why they needed us to be on... But the reason why I wanted to keep my word. The reason why they needed us on
you
that
tour...
You
said a Virgin Pina Colada?
Yeah, that's how I did
that. Secure the venues?
Because with Public Enemy and NWA on the same tour, they thought it was going to be crazy. So they wanted to bring artists to balance it out.
So
that's why we ended up being a part of that history. And we had fun with those guys.
And this is the thing. You know, a lot of times you're wary or, you know, because you don't know people. Right. You know, we didn't know Too Short. We didn't know Easy and them. We didn't know Dre. We didn't know Q. We didn't know Yella. And once we got together, first of all, I made a mistake and thought it was two different audiences. I was like, the people that listen to Kid and Play couldn't possibly listen to NWA.
I would say that too.
Yeah, but I was so wrong.
Is that the same tour that TK Kirkland was the host?
Yeah,
the
same tour.
Shit,
TK bombed every night.
What does that mean, bomb? That means good or bad?
No, that's not good.
Oh, for real?
Hey, but he kept going every night.
This is a true story.
But he's good people.
But my main point was, we got to know one another, man.
TK bombed.
But the funny story, toward the end of the tour, right? We were in Washington and Philly. And as the tour moved east.
And this is Public Enemy and NWA.
I think PE was on by then.
Yeah.
And as the tour got more and more toward the East Coast, the West Coast, because the East Coast wasn't really up on it yet. So they struggled a little bit. And I remember the last couple of shows, even Too Short.
NWA, you're saying, struggled.
You know, and not them so much, but I remember one night.
West Coast, period.
I remember one night, Too Short had a rough night, as we all do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so we backstage, and Too Short, man, that's my man, 50 grand. I remember him saying to TK, he said, man, I might have bombed the night, but nigga, you bombed every night. You consistent.
But you know what? Here's a piece of history for you. Yeah. People can say what they want to say in regards to it taking a minute for it to catch on in New York. Mm. But one cat that never gets his props that she got that helped out NWA a lot. DOC.
Oh, of course. Yeah, from Texas.
Because, yo,
Texas.
He broke through the mainstream.
Right.
Regular play. Mm-hmm. And cats had to give credit to Dr. Dre and that whole thing, man, because he was doing it, man. And that helped usher in. It helped usher in the NWA family.
And as Play said, we all had a blast, and these are some friendships that we carry, you know, to this day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we were joking around about TK, but, you know, look, he was a part of it as well. Right. Too Short was on that. DOC was on that tour. Wow. JJ Fad was on that tour. And then all the other tours we went on, we was doing stuff with Digital Underground when Tupac was a backup
dancer. Was a dancer,
so,
yeah.
When he was young and wild.
And
he
the crazy
was
thing like about 18 or 19. Oh man, it was funny with Tupac because he wanted to rap so bad. He really wanted to get
He lived to rap.
At the after party, one time we hanging out, me and him, I'm just there for the women. So he wants to get on the mic. He wants to get on the mic. So he goes, the DJ goes, yo, we got my man Play in the house. Play, come on up to the booth and rap. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Tupac says, yo, man, go on up there. Let's get up there. I said, yo, I'm not here for that, man. Well, let's get up there. When the DJ gives you the mic, you quickly pass it to me.
Quickly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we would be down on beat downs and all of that. He had the craziest crush on Yo-Yo. He loved him some Yo-Yo. Because we talking to Lynch Mob.
Right.
But yo, he would do anything for Yo-Yo. You know what I'm saying?
Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac.
Wow. That's crazy. Shout out to Yo-Yo. She's dope.
Now I see on the interview.
Dope.
And you said that G-Rap is from your neighborhood. I always thought G-Rap was from Corona and Left Rap. So you claim him as being from Elmhurst when I seen you.
It got confusing because a lot of cats would hang out in the Hearst because that's where the girls was at.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Some
cats didn't want to claim Corona like that because they wanted the girls over in that area. So sometimes it's a fine line because you had like 37th, 34th Avenue.
Right, next 30,
and
right
it was
next
like a fine line. Okay, but you know, when you looked at the school district or whatever, you would say Corona, but come to find out it was Jackson Heights.
Okay, so 34th Avenue is Corona.
I would say we consider 32nd Avenue and beyond to be up in Corona. 32nd Avenue,
37th Avenue
would be like East.
That's Corona to us. Yeah,
we considered that.
Right.
You know, you remember the bomb building?
Yeah, the bomb building. Hell yeah! I remember the bomb building.
What was that? Corona was at the Hearst.
Well,
that
damn.
Was like right they, well, on the fine
line. We considered it the Hearst. You know who's living by the bomb building?
Corona.
Horse Nas's guy.
Exactly
he's living by the bomb building.
We considered
it's old school Queens. Y'all gotta relax, y'all. And by the way,
shout out to Hassan.
And by the way, kid. I spoke to the Queens delegation, and when we looked at your story, we want you to erase the Bronx out of your story. We want you to just claim Queens. We spoke to the Queens delegation, and I also spoke to the Bronx congregation, and they said it's okay. We get
it. How about that?
He's yours.
We're so proud of you in Queens. We want you to fully claim you.
The Bronx raised me, but Queens free. Queens paid me.
You and Salt and Pepper worked at Sears together.
Yep. Sears and Roebuck telephone sales
representatives. And you all got fired.
At some point or not.
I was the first one that got fired.
Thank you, Sears.
So what would have happened if you guys wouldn't have got fired? You haven't stayed as this.
That would have been a sad story.
I mean,
it would have been no story.
And Salt and Pepper was there. And Spinderella or just Salt and Pepper?
No, just Salt and Pepper. Herbie Love.
Yeah, I was going to say. Is that Martin the connection with Herbie
came
Love?
Over.
Martin worked at the gas station, right?
Yeah, he used to work at a gas station across the street from
there. What kind of neighborhood was this?
That's what I said. He actually came over.
Let's just break that down. Right.
It's not serious.
Them and Salt and Pepper worked at Sears together, and Martin walked across the street.
At a Hess. There was a Hess gas station.
Talented-ass stores right here.
Oh, word.
And we all got down. I mean, can you imagine that? That's like a billion to one. Like, all five of us got fans. I mean, if you include Herbie, like, all of us?
Yep.
Wow. All of us. That's crazy, man.
And then y'all actually, Chris Tucker and Bernie Mac is like, y'all discovery?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, their first movies... their first Chris Tucker first movie was House Party 3.
Wow.
Bernie Mac first movie was House Party 3.
This is a piece of history. Mm. Martin didn't want to be in House Party 3, and we needed.
Yeah, he turned us down.
What?
Yeah, flat.
So anyway,
were you guys producing the movies at this point?
Yes, but we're getting paid as producers.
I'm like, yo, we need some star power. We need some comedy power in this joint. I went to go see the premiere of Who's the Man. I looked at the screen. I said, this could be Robin Harris's brother. The complexion, the whole nine.
Yeah, the whole mannerism.
So I told him, because he was there, I said, dude, I'm going to get you in House Party. I'm going to get you whatever. I reached out, what was her name? Susan something up at New Line? One of the VIPs.
Yeah.
And I told him,
Sarah Richard.
Yeah, you need to get into this needs to happen. You need to have Robin.
About Bernie
and the next thing I know,
yeah.
it happened.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely early in his career. And I remember I used to watch Chris Tucker when he came out from Atlanta and watch him do stand-up out in Hollywood, at the Comedy Store in particular.
I remember you called me. You said, yo, trust me on this.
Yeah, yeah, because we were about to shoot this scene the next day.
Same time, man.
And the director hit me up. He said, yo, man, we need the manager for the stripper. We ain't got nobody, man. He said, we ain't got nobody.
He's going to perform tonight.
And I was like, yo, I just seen Money at the Comedy Store, man. You know what I'm saying? And Chris had just got off stage, so I stepped to him. And you know Chris. Chris is like, hey, kid, what your rich ass doing? So I said, yo, man, come down to the set tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's a part for you, man. Just do the blah, blah, blah. Went down there, did the one scene, you know what I mean? Stole it with the scene, you know what I mean? And then his next movie after that was Friday, because now New Line was very, very familiar with him. And, you know, Q brought
so
him on deck.
So you said his first time on camera was with y'all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'll tell you that.
Same time, man.
And you saw him live.
Yeah, saw him live doing stand-up, man. He was just a young Chris Tucker, like fresh out of Atlanta, was electric. He was electric, man. And I knew. And that goes back to another thing that Play was talking about or kind of entering toward. These house party movies, especially toward the end, we get most of the credit, but there was lots of good people, man. And we wanted that. Right. We wanted everybody to shine because then it uplifts the movie. Everybody wins. Right. So when we wanted Martin to come back for House Party 2, yeah, you got to let him win. You know, we told him put full force in House Party 2 because it ain't broke.
Right.
And not that you can't add pieces. But why you replacing them? Why you taking away? Let's add to it. So over the course of the three house parties and a movie like Class Act, we were always trying to load up on the talent, and if it meant giving people opportunities that hadn't had opportunities before, fine.
Is it true LeBron James is doing a new remake of House Party?
That's the word on the street.
So how does that happen? He has to call y'all.
That's what we need. Hey, yo, LeBron, man, I want to be in there, man. Yo. Put me in there somehow.
We own House Party, but we don't own it. You know what I'm saying?
That's Time Warner.
That's New Line. So I mean, it's obvious that they've kind of bonded together and to formulate it.
They got good people with it, man. I mean, it's Will's brother, Donald Glover's brother. You know, that whole writing team, Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just concerned because it's a different time in this world. You know, when you came out with House Party, then it was relatable. Everybody knew about the house party, parents going down south, this, that. Let's put that where we at today. You know what I'm saying? It's clubs.
I was in love with Gina back then too. I'm sorry. I just messed up. You guys think that?
Great kisser. You guys, shout out to Tisha.
You guys could have
hit
you
back out on the market.
Oh, word. Oh my God. Wait, I'm not gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie. Old school rumors and Queens. You were knocking down a lot of bitches in Queens. That was the word in Queens. I'm saying, they was like, yo, man, like, you were like the first Wesley Snipes. Like, you were like, you didn't even think about it. Like,
no, he was the first Wesley Pipes. No, but this dude was a terror. You know, Play is off of Playboy.
In Vogue?
But
you had
damn.
Man,
that's what, all of them Vogue?
Yeah, one time.
The bad one he had. That's the one he had.
Yeah.
Yo, but Kid was knocking out those books in school.
When we first started hanging out, I was getting no ass whatsoever. I got these big, thick glasses. Like, what's going on here?
That sounds like the class act.
But that's what he helped me out a lot with that. You know, he kind of helped me get a lot of game because my game was.
So class act is really, zero. Really.
Yeah, no, yeah,
that's why we did it.
It was really not.
It's funny because when we first got out on the road, we had to share a room together, low budget situation. Ooh. They used to call us Sid and Clay. They would never get our names right, you know, the other nine. And he'd meet some girl and come to the room late and. Wait for the phone to ring because she's supposed to call him when she got home safely. I'm like, dude.
He was one of those dudes.
I was a cuddler, and then
he couldn't go to bed without some tea with lemon. You know what I'm saying?
He's sophisticated, dog.
I'm like, who is this guy with? You know what I'm saying? Get me out of here. You know what I'm saying?
And you really did good in school and shit like that.
That's how I learned how to talk is from this dude because schools got done with me. Art and Design, Flushing High, Hillcrest High. Bryant,
he was on the world tour.
He was in all schools. I got kicked out of. But I started hanging out with this guy. I taught him how to cut school, the whole nine. Yeah. And we'd be in his crib, and Jeopardy would come on. And when it was, and the thing
tell
goes,
me he know the answers.
Yes.
I'm like, who is this I'm hanging out with? But I can learn something.
I can be an intelligent thug out of this. You know what I'm saying? Because I used to use all my children to get at women. You know what I'm saying? Watch the soaps when I cut out. Be at the party. See a girl wanted to get with. Excuse me, but do you know what happened with Erica Kane and so-and-so today? You watch the soaps? Yeah, you know, my little tender side. And then, you know, slide in there. Don't try this at home.
That's some real Capone shit right there.
The soap operas was the way. Like I went to Lehman College back in the days. And what,
Lehman College? That's in the Bronx.
Yeah, in the Bronx.
Okay.
So at lunchtime, I would go to like the student center because that's when all the girls were there. You'd be me and like 20 chicks. You know what I mean? Watching all my children. So you just you know what I mean?
You gotta say a name that only somebody who would watch would know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
the girl know you wouldn't play games. Yeah, so yeah. Like, you know. Oh, and then they
trust me. Ted Martin.
Ted Martin. How do you know about that?
Right. Oh, you bunch of chicks right now. I was like, damn, they got me.
Yeah. The chicks are looking at me like, he looks like a cuddler.
Was there ever like inside competition with between you and Salt and Pepper being that it was like y'all was the exact opposite version of each other?
Never. Meaning. We helped each other a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
They put us on.
You know, I mean that too because our first thing was really, well, I was in the Tramp video.
Yeah, the Tramp
video. And then we were in Shake Your Thing. You danced with them in Shake Your Thing.
Yeah,
the thing was, Kid helped with the lyrics, helped her reform that. I helped with the outfits and the gear, the pushy jackets, all of that kind of stuff. So, and they helped us, man. I mean, believe me, forever.
If you look at a lot of early Salt and Pepper videos, you see us all up in there.
We played the detectives in Shake Your Thing.
And everybody get up. But this was the Idol Maker's way. You know, Herbie's conglomerate at that time. Because it was always the strong helping the weak. So Salt and Pepper helped put us on. Then we came and then we put Kwame on. You know, he started appearing in our stuff. We started jumping in his video.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Up.
Dana Dane was in the clip.
Go back
to watch old Dana Dane videos. We all have been there, you know, just little high top
everything. Let me stop you for 1 second because Play said it's so nonchalant. He was like, you helped with the lyrics. Why do you think back in the days, like Big Daddy Kane would out front write for Biz Mark? He would make it be known. Mm. I mean, Eazy-E has a line on his lyrics. He says, "Ice Cube write the rhymes that I say." And you just said like with Salt and Pepper, but back then that was not frowned upon. But now, you know, I heard you mention Drake earlier. And I went and looked at your interviews. You mentioned Drake a lot. I know that you like Drake. Mm-hmm. But why do you think it was so? Why do both of you guys, not just you, but why do both of you guys think that it's so frowned upon, like when a person like Drake status.
Yeah, like today, right? Today,
okay, like today.
Today it's frowned upon. Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't know. You know what? Our clique, our crew was a community. And it was everybody pitching. Whatever you're good at.
You took a Salt and Pepper.
It's called Idol Makers Camp. Dana Dane, Kwame, Sweet Tea.
But what was the intention? The intention was to get the people up and dance. You know what I'm saying? By all means necessary. Mm. So if you had a clever line or something that's going to accomplish
that. Yeah, we all sitting around the studio.
You know what I'm saying? We all had, it's a party in the studio. Right. And the great thing about back then, you had the Juice Crew. Mm. You had the Idol Makers crew. Mm. You had the Boogie Down. Everybody had these crews and the first lady of their crews and all that stuff. But it was a competition in Iron Sharp. And an iron. We all wanted to be unique in our own way. Who's going to do this? Going to do that? So I think it was the intention. I think the intention today is different. I don't think it's the same agenda. You know, not a bad thing. It's just different.
And to me, I don't have a problem with cats having ghostwriters and stuff like that, man. Because what you still gotta make it sound good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's almost like taking steroids. You can take steroids, but you still gotta work out.
What's the question
behind what's the difference between a rapper and an MC?
Yeah,
that's what dove into that. Right there. If you're an MC, you got to be doing your own thing.
A MC who's great in top five has to write his own thing. But now a rapper who's great in top five, he can be in it.
And it's one thing brainstorming and loaning a line versus writing the whole song.
And I think one of the persons that helped set it straight was Diddy's line. Don't worry about me, right? I write checks.
Well, we had one of Diddy's producers on here called D Dot, and he said that he was. I think he was
the mad rapper.
Yeah, he was drunk. He was being the mad rapper.
He came as a mad rapper.
I know. When he came in. So what happened was, he said that every artist steals. He said every artist stole. Wow. Every single, and I said, not everybody. He said, everybody. He was very adamant about that. That's and I looked and I was like, damn, let's make it clear. Like, I'm here. And, but you know, I'm not here as an artist.
And I'm a rapper.
I got to remind myself, I'm not here as an artist. I had to let people speak as a journalist. Right. But Razzcast was there too. And Razzcast was like, yo, B.
No, he
was not every artist has stolen.
Yeah, he's up with that.
But I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. As I posted that, I read my comments, which I don't read my comments because I like to be sane.
Yes, sir.
But this is the first time I did read my comments, and a lot of people were agreeing with him.
Yeah, they say everybody's saying.
They said everybody's saying.
But it's
still.
The way he was saying. I think it's a matter of semantics too. Like he's saying, like if you borrow anything,
no.
That's the way he was saying.
He's saying that Jay-Z even standing next to Big. Made Jay-Z better, and it made Jay-Z.
Which I think there's difference when someone
take
goes
a little
literally
right,
goes right,
right,
right, right, right, right, right,
so there's a difference between wholesale doing
comedy,
something
you do
and influence.
Right. You do comedy, right? I apologize for cutting you off, but you do comedy. In comedy, that is like almost standard. Like almost standard to have a writer run around with you.
Well, not always standard.
Well, it's look, if you're at super high levels, you know, like Bill Maher, Kevin Hart. Yeah. You there's no way one man can create all that
and
material,
as much as you're working too.
Yeah. Bill Maher has writers year round.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Year round for not only the TV show, but when he does his live performances. Mm. So they're always giving him fresh new political stuff and whatnot. And Kevin, I'm sure the same way, he has a real tight, talented crew.
Right.
I mean, and so that's more like,
and I know
everybody
shows
him in
the gumbo. Credits with Eddie Murphy, and you see how much the involvement of Keenan Wayans and even Robert Townsend. Yeah. All of them, they were a clique, man, and they all hear something funny. And they just
yeah, it's hard to create all that content by yourself. So what happens is you're with people that are like minded. You know what I'm saying? Like good friends of mine.
Well, they know your style. Paul Mooney with Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Good friends of mine like Joe Torre, Tommy Davidson. You know what I'm saying? We all look
and
at each other.
I've been around that craziness, man. I mean, be around all of them, man. Just comedians. It's nothing serious.
Yeah,
everything's a joke.
And a lot of times, what happens is this: you'll have a friend, you know, a friend comic, watch your set and watch some of the material. A lot of times, they'll give you what's called a note. Like, hey man, you know that joke you do about the such and such. Yo, at the end, why don't you say ba da 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 da, and you know, and say to make it pop like a little bit more. And we've all been of the mindset like, look, I don't care if it's funny. If it's funny, I'll use it if it's gonna make the joke
better.
That's
my point in regards to going back to writing lyrics back then. Mm. If it's what it's gonna take to get the people to get up and dance, it's that kind of line. Right. Use it. That what he just said nailed that. But
so
over
have you ever had used a line that wasn't yours?
Dude, this was my ghostwriter Herbie. I threw in a little something there.
But you guys were a team.
I got this idea for a dope jacket. Put this on. Because that a big shout out to Ron Lawrence, one of the producers with Herbie Love, by the way. But my thing was designing. My thing was just hanging out with Dapper as long as
Dapper
Dan.
He was the reason why.
He was the jam master Jay of the group.
Yeah, if you saw us, our gear, and you thought our shit was fly. That
was him. You was like the first designer, like the first, like, you know.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I remember having a meeting with Andre Harrell, and I was like, yo, let's create beats and let this beat be a beat that represents foreplay, because that was the name of my joint.
And he had barbershop play.
I had the barbershop foreplay, and I had the clothing joint foreplay. Because when Dap got caught up with that whole Mitch Green and Tyson situation,
was
passed to me, so I'm, you know, all that good stuff. And Dap and I are still like this right now. But anyway, the interesting thing was, and I'm about to lose my train of thought, was the fact that, oh, y'all going to the next one.
No, it was Dapper Dan, stylist, if you, Dapper Dan, stylist.
Drink champs, y'all, where you from?
Well, I was talking about when I did the thing, but my thing, I really didn't lost. It's going to hit me when I stop thinking about it.
You had Dapper Dan stuff back in the day?
Hell yeah, but I couldn't afford it when y'all was doing it. When y'all was doing it, I couldn't afford it.
Him and Herbie used to be up there all the time.
Those salt and pepper jackets, I had to live there at that shop because, you know, he had all them Africans in the back.
Oh, wow.
But Dap wasn't known for being on time with your gear. So Herbie was like, yo, man, you're going to have to just stay here all night, whatever, because we had to get those jackets and the mural I did that's on the back of that Push It thing. I had to be on a plane to get them there out. I think we did that in Florida, the Push It thing.
So technically, you were like the first.
You could see me on the side.
You were like the first Puff Daddy.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Now, yeah. The thing about it, Andre and I, we were talking about doing a thing with gear. And he's like, Play, I really don't see that. Then you got Wu-Tang that did it.
Yep.
What was that joint they did with the clones?
Even Biggie had Brooklyn, man.
All of them. And he didn't see the vision at the time. You know what I'm saying?
He was definitely ahead of the curve. And he had, like, for example, when Martin Lawrence was hosting Def Comedy Jam back then.
You styled him, right?
He rocked six episodes. Even with his show, because I did School of Hard Knocks. That was my joint.
Oh, in Queens. Yeah. I rocked that shit on.
Me and my partner at the time.
Wait, that was your clothing line?
School of Hard Knocks. Jerry.
Over at
Vaughn's and Corona. We were partners at the time. I did the designing. We had this idea because African-American college line, that Allegiant line, Chris.
The black colleges.
Black college thing. So I said, yo, they doing all this thing about people going to college. I'm a dropout. We know other people that didn't finish school. We need to come up with a line that represents those that are still good, even though you didn't go to school. So we said, school. We came with the idea on the 59th Street Bridge in traffic going into Manhattan. And I said, School of Hard Knocks. And we came up with the line of naming all the artists from Queens and rappers we knew that didn't finish school. And that's how that thing blew up. And then things was going on crazy in my life.
I didn't get money from that. I gave it to Jerry.
I said, just take it because I was stressing, you know.
I want to properly always, you know, introduce and, you know, be in tune with the artist. So one thing I've noticed is you're a big glasses guy.
I love glasses. I collect glasses and watches. That's my two.
You're a big glasses
and sneakers too.
I got that watch too, by the way. I got
same watch too.
What glasses is those? Those Gazelles?
Gazelles. I think these are the Havanas.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I ain't got those.
His glass game is heavy.
I'm not gonna lie with you. I was looking and I was like, yo, one thing. You could tell a nigga getting money by the type of glasses he wear. He got the official. He had a pair of Cartiers. I couldn't find them.
I was like, yo, look
at these Cartiers. And I said, hold on, let me try to find them. And I couldn't find them. I said, he's official. When I can't find his glasses, I know you dig deep. I'm a glasses guy. I'm so sorry.
I was much more of a sneakerhead. I mean, I still am to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? But not like
you're bringing the ponies out now. I said I wanted to know what was on his feet, and he got on ponies, man.
Ponies.
Someone just told me what ponies stood for.
I can't remember.
Someone just told me, but the NY stands for New York and pony. It's PO. It's an acronym. The NY and pony stands for New York. And someone just told me, and I can't remember.
Let me ask you.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out of all the things from being a rapper, even though you touch the comedian world, what made you say, I'm going to do stand-up? Because stand-up is probably the roughest of the comedians.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you go straight to your HBO stand-up special?
Well, this is the thing. A backstory is I was actually hosting a TV show, a syndicated TV show called Your Big Break. It was actually like the precursor.
I remember.
To American Idol. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you can sing, you know, you sing a Cher song, but we're gonna put you in one of Cher's gowns and dress up a set and do all this and that, right? So it was a show I hosted for a year. But then I got fired.
Almost like lip sync.
Yeah, I got fired from after the first year. It was a Dick Clark show, and they fired me by letter, and then I ended up getting replaced by Alfonso Ribeiro, right? The only black guy whiter than me. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I was like out of work. It was like 90. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was literally
Carlton. Yeah.
It's not unusual.
Hey, some of these jokes are time release. Right, so I was, you know, Kid and Play was cold at the time. Right. You know what I'm saying? I was on the left coast. Right. He was back east. Right. I wasn't really doing anything. I needed a spark. Right. And with two good friends of mine, Tommy Davidson and Bill Maher, that urged me to go into stand-up. And actually, Bill Maher brought me on the Oprah Winfrey Show. One of the first times I ever did stand up, because it was a show called Funny People and Who They Think Are Funny. So you had D.L. Hughley brought on some more. John Stewart brought on Lewis Black. And Bill Maher brought me on and said, hey man, this is one of the funniest guys I know, and da 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 da. So that's kind of how I got started. But what I found out ultimately was having been a rapper really helped prepare me for stand-up.
Is that thrill?
Well, first of all, you already know your way around the stage. I mean, any comedian will tell you, man, half the battle is just feeling comfortable on stage and comfortable in front of strangers and comfortable in front of fans. Man, we'd already done that. We'd be performing in front of hundreds of thousands of people. You just got to make sure that the material is tight, that it's unique to you. And to me, if you're talking about, you know, Tommy and Bill Maher, you know, two of the greats, you know, and they literally kind of forced me.
Tommy Davidson,
if you talk about comedian idols, I mean, you know, everybody, the Richard Pryor, Tommy is one of the he's so underrated. He's one of the greatest of all time. We're Tommy. A lot alike, you know, kind of manic and over, you know, I mean, real quick off the top and stuff like that. So he was a great, great influence, and Bill, somebody as great as Bill was behind that. So it felt comfortable, like almost off the rip. You know what I'm saying?
And what did you think when you when he said to you, I'm
it was
going
an interesting
stand-up.
Piece of news. He didn't come get at me like, yo, play, I'm going to do comedy. I just heard he was doing comedy. I just know how much he makes me laugh. Right. I just hope it translated, you know, to huge right. audiences. Right. But no, I was good with it. I heard he was like Bigfoot. There were sightings of him. He's here's this club. He's did you see him on? I did see when he hosted that show and all of that. But I got a question. Do anybody remember when Will Smith tried to do stand-up?
No, I don't remember.
Nah, he tried to do stand-up.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like an award show.
You talk about bombing. Because he did a joke about, suppose Jesus came out with sneakers and they were called Air Jesus. Too soon. You understand? Too soon. Yeah. I'll never forget that, man. But the best of tries.
But you know what?
Look, the kid is doing his thing, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what was your worst night?
Oh, wow. All right. You're going to love this one.
Okay.
Right. TK's going to love this one because I royally bombed. Okay. So I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Oh,
right? Shit.
That sounds like it's going to be
Little Rock, Arkansas, right?
Bill Clinton.
And I'm crushing it, dude. Mm. I'm crushing it. Thursday, crush it. Friday, crushing it. And back then, I used to bring our DJ, DJ Wiz, I used to bring him with me. You know, it's almost like on some King Capri stuff, you know, play the...
You guys discover King Capri, too. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, yeah. Play the comedians on, play me on, whatever.
Maybe, like a Def Comedy like Jam vibe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, kind of vibe. So Wiz would come with me. So Wiz was with me that weekend. So I'm feeling myself, man, Saturday night. I said, man, I'm going to try this brand new joke, man. I'm feeling myself. I was watching TV. I was in the room probably getting high.
You got gassed?
Yeah, I got gassed. Because I was doing so well. You know what I'm saying? I was winning. Yeah, I'm out here. I'm out here winning, B. So I said, all right, I'm going to pick a spot right in the middle. So I'll come out. I'm crushing them. I said, now's the time to do the brand new joke. So I said, hey, man. Mind you, we're in Little Rock, Arkansas. I said, man, I was watching TV today, man. I was watching this religious program, man. I don't know if you guys are into boy bands at all, but you know they got a religious boy band out, man. Have you heard these guys, man? They had their first record. It was called Jesus, He's So Neat. They put nails through his arms and nails through his feet. And I just laid like this. So I had to lay across like this. And the audience went silent. And I looked down. I looked out the corner of my eye and I could see Wiz. Wiz was down below. Wiz looked at me and said, why did you do that? We were winning.
Did not kill that.
This is the worst I have. And I never, ever told that joke again. I just tell the story of me bombing and telling the joke.
Because to be a comedian, that's how you have to learn if the joke is good.
Yeah,
or not.
Man.
Yeah, you gotta jump off a cliff.
Yo, that afternoon, I said, I'm winning with this.
Still silence.
Right. Oh, it's a bad joke.
Now, it's like y'all lives did a 360 because in the beginning, I think you self-call yourself a nerd or something like that. And then you were like the cool kid. You were a street kid. You actually wanted to pursue, you know, the street life even more than the
you
music.
You remember the back then when you went to jail, that
of
was
course.
Your celebrity in the thing.
Of course,
you know
of course.
To come
course.
Out. You know what I'm saying? That was the stupidity then, you know.
But,
so, yeah.
But y'all lives is like 360 now because he got something called Kid and Blaze. Would you want your own joint or are you good?
No, I'm good.
Just you know,
there's a work night.
But you got something called Kid and Blaze,
yeah.
And you are actually a born again Christian
believer. Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. Now, how did that happen for you? For people that
just to cut right to the chase, man. When you just get everything you want that you think is going to be fulfilling, going to be happy. You know who my ex-wife is, and
right. Yes.
Homes and cars.
Yes, I know
and
who your ex-wife is.
All of that good stuff. Sherry yes. Heller, y'all yes. coming to America?
No, come on, that's
Lisa McDowell, man. I mean, come on. I want to be you. He's buying Benzes. Herbie's doing Benzes and BMWs and Porsches. I'm like, I gotta go bigger than these cats. What do I do?
Because it's like y'all switch
lives. What do I do?
Lives.
I do a DeLorean. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Wow. This nigga bought a DeLorean.
So
wait,
I'm like,
wait, come on. Wait, the Michael. The
trying to be back to the future,
future
and shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he
did. Come with the flex capacity.
I ain't even getting a lot of money. I didn't even know you could buy one of those. Hold on. Goddamn, make some noise for me. Goddamn, I gotta upgrade my life.
Yo, he was. Yo, he was doing the most.
And it just got to the point where it's like, yo, this isn't doing it. This is like, right. I'm tormented. It's like, hey, what more do I need to do? Whatever. And I'm seeing you got to cross into that dark side type stuff now. Some people call it the Illuminati, making deals now.
Because I'm not going to lie, I was so scared. I was like, damn. I was like, I gotta be kid's idea to come here, because I smoke weed on every episode.
Right.
So I was like, but then when you didn't decline and you just came, I said, damn, you're the cool, like, turned over Christian. Because, you know, there's some people that take it too far. They be like, yo.
I mean, I went through that stage too. Like, you know, like, what I'm
when
saying?
You didn't want to be.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You couldn't have been around him, because he's Irish and Jamaican. Well, like, both of his sides is a little bit crazy.
I get high.
You know what's interesting? We have a relationship most don't have. It's like, there was no casting call for a kid. There was no casting call for a play. We can finish each other's sentences. We can, if I'm not able to be on the call for a business deal or vice versa, just as long as we know we had a conversation about it prior to, we good. Okay. So it's like, you know, it's just natural, it's organic type thing. I mean, it ain't perfect. We go, you know, we the odd couple. You know what I'm saying? Especially now. But it's like, it's all good. And it's like, for me, I just want people to be themselves, man, because that's where we gotta. If it's gonna be any kind of change, it's gotta start from that. It just can't be like trying to be something you're not. But spark it up, man.
Like me, yo, man. Thank you so much. Come on,
They should let me know.
They're supposed to be in between.
Before you guys leave, one thing that I definitely want to know, because, and I was trying to bring it up before, is that when you guys did the movie stuff,
yes, sir.
If there's anything that artists could learn today. The way you guys structured those situations, that do you see something from those movies today?
Oh yeah, I mean, our people, you know, we might have took them for granted.
The first one,
you
got $30,000.
We did.
You got 60, and he got 30.
No, I got 30.
Something like
you got 30.
I got 30. Okay. I think we were like on the clock. Mm-hmm. So if I had a little more screen time than him, that means I probably got paid like a little bit more. But that topped it out, like 30 G's. Nobody was getting. Nobody got, but where they messed up was they didn't have an option for us.
And I think it's because of our situation that a lot of companies said, no, we will never let that happen again.
We want to make sure we have everything.
If you do movies, your images, or whatever the case may be, they didn't have that with us. So, and I think that Fred Mineo, good friend, man, Select Records, great guy, but he let that slip through the cracks, and I think he kicks himself for not, you know, because no one thought
it would ever happen.
Did you guys get production credits in the following films?
It grew. A lot of stuff grew eventually.
Could it be situations where people could learn from those situations?
Yeah, well, definitely. I would say this. The type of input that we had, and thankfully that the directors and the producers gave us, would be considered producing today.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
We were not getting paid as a producer. Yeah, he's fine in Bernie Mac.
You guys are writing the script over.
Remaking a thing, writing all the raps and all that. That's producing today. That's producing. So, Know what you're worth. Know what talents you're bringing to the table, because a lot of this stuff that we did and they took for granted. And look, it all came out, and 30 years later, we still here, you know, doing our thing. But just know exactly what the details are of what you're expected, because what we were doing back then, that's production.
You ask something about Kid Capri?
I was definitely about to ask something about
that's my dude.
When y'all did
best DJ ever.
What y'all did the Martin?
He did he was the DJ for Martin's Def Jam thing.
Right.
But prior to that,
when it goes Martin,
you did the thing.
But that's Kid Capri's voice when it goes.
No. Let me tell you what happened. We did a couple of different verses. The one of like the first couple of years. That's me. Sounded like Capri.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Me going, my, you know, I can barely do it now.
My ears.
Yeah, that was me. And I apologize, Capri. I should have, you know what I'm saying? I should have called you up.
But
it's like finding out Santa Claus ain't real.
Let me tell you what happened. No, honestly, out of respect for Capri, I didn't sample him. We didn't sample him off the top. So, and I knew I could, imitate it and sound like that. The voice. But then, like, after the second year, I was like, man, just want to go put Capri voice on. So that's probably what you probably heard one of them seasons where we did slip it back in there, man. So
we got a separation with Capri because that's our dude. First tour, he'll tell you this, that he ever did was with us.
Wow.
Ever did. Because there was a time we said, yo, I wanted two DJs, Wiz, and somebody to liven up the crowd the whole nine. Right. But the only thing about him, he refuses to fly.
So the only he's
the John Madden of DJs.
So was DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled was like that.
Well, no, he's flying now.
Now he's flying now, private.
Yeah, he's rich. Yeah. I was tempted, but I don't think I should have.
Me being a part of a group, right? Even though it's two of us, right? I'm Capone and Noriega, you guys are Kid and Play.
Right.
It's kind of hard to stick together when you grow apart, but you're still the same kids that you remember. Like, what was the worst part of Kid and Play as y'all relationship as famous people? Because y'all were friends prior to that.
I think there's only one.
I can only think of one, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
You talking about the airport?
What happened at the airport?
They got separate ideas.
No, I'm thinking about the time, because if you look at some of the times we started blowing up, we started doing interviews on, you know, Arsenio.
Me and Capone had a straight fist fight. That's rare.
BT shows and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, this guy starts wearing, like he's right now, dark shades. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
and everybody in the crew is like, yo, what's up with Kid in the dark shades? You know, even in the light. You know, and then what you about to say? That was a little odd. It was like a sign of like, okay, he's going to Hollywood.
You forgot this. This is what happened. We were flying back. I think
we got Hollywood on you? That's what you say?
Well,
like 5 minutes. Yeah, but in our crew, we was like, in our crew, we'd be like, yo, nigga, that shit look whack. And I'm like, okay, we're off.
It wasn't like, you know, I don't want to share a thing with him. No, he didn't get like that. But it's like, dude, where's your eyes?
You forgot the story. This is what happened. We was flying back to New York, I think from Los Angeles. Matter of fact, Jeff Christie was with us. Shout out to Jeff Christie. And for some reason, man, I forgot what the specific thing was, but you know, we was butting heads. I think we were waiting on a car, and the car was coming. And you said your car got to go here and there, this and that. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? You remember we got into it, and then you know we had to get separated by Jeff Christie. And you remember they were like fans saying, "Oh my God, Kid and Play are fighting!"
I think I must have blacked out.
Yeah, that was like the only time I could think of. That was like a million freaking years ago.
Yeah, but let me tell y'all something. Let me ask y'all a question, right? Do y'all realize how famous y'all are, though?
I don't.
You don't.
I'm not telling you what I think you want to hear. I really don't, and I'm kind of glad for that because. Mm. You know, get the ego and all of that kind of stuff like that. But as just now, kind of recently, like last night, I was at the Radio 1 B Expo. Shout out to Sharice Malachi. Right. And I did what I had to do. I'm premiering a documentary about dances and hip hop and all.
Nice.
And I go to hang out, and a guy grabs me in a yoke and won't let me go for like 3 minutes. It's Allen Iverson. Talking about how much the influence of my character meant on him on being cool. Right. And then other people in the business just coming, going, yo. And it's funny because back then, cats wouldn't tell you that. You know how we all did.
Right. Yep.
But now as we gotten older and humble and appreciate life more, we come up to each other and say, yo, you need to know what this meant to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now I'm beginning to get it. Like, I wasn't big on legend and icon and all that stuff.
Oh, you guys are definitely legend.
I tell people, I'm still working on it.
Yes. I am just an icon living.
Definitely pioneers. But like last night, I'm with Grandmaster Cass and I'm with Dougie Fresh. Cass, that's living legend.
That's the architects. Right? That's the architects.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
But that's what Drink Champs is about. And I just want to reiterate that. That's what I saw that it was a lack of. I feel like when a person has 10, 12, 15 years in this game, we write them off, as opposed to where in rock and roll and in jazz.
They celebrate them.
They celebrate them. Yeah. And I think our culture has to change that. That's why a lot of people come to me and they want me to interview new artists.
The bad thing about this industry.
And I won't interview new artists because I just want to, I feel like they got the regular radio stations.
The bad thing about this industry, man, is one where ageism. Because we don't do it in other colors, genres. But when it comes to this, it's like, wow, like really?
And there should be no ageism in art. And ageism doesn't go together.
To your point, I mean, look, you know, the young rappers, they roll up on us and they show us mad love. If we're together, or he's by himself.
Welcome to my house party. Come on, Meek Mill.
All of them got me and other cats too.
And they show mad love, and we appreciate it because
cats
they don't have to.
Right. You know?
But I just try to, we just try to tell them, hey man, we our you know, our participation, our work is kind of done. You
Here's
know
what I mean? Torch.
So we're either, we're on that wall, however you, wherever you want to put us. Now, you got the ball. You got the bag now. You got the football. What you going to do with it? You going to fumble it at the one, or you still going to be here 15, 20, 25 years?
Let me say this.
It's all up to you.
Okay, you said something that just bothered me. You just said they don't have to. And the thing about it is, kid, that's something that we got to take out of the culture. I think they should have to. I think that if a person's a two-man group and a person has not reached the accomplishments or accolades, I think they should be asking you the time to throw the roses at your feet. And what time?
Hold on a minute. We really got to go for the show. Hold on, for the show, because we're out of the 90.
Yeah, gotcha.
I want to take this time personally on behalf of Kid and I to thank you.
All right.
Because you've gone through some things.
All right, yes, I
have. You know how it goes in this joint.
Of course.
And I'm hearing this thing about Nori and his podcast. And I didn't know the name of it. But this thing has become the talk, man. I mean, on some Breakfast Club, maybe higher. All of this. And congratulations to y'all too. You look good.
You're doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, man.
Salute.
And we're doing it for hip hop because we just realized, and this is the last thing, we realized that hip hop has to have a platform to salute hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Right. At the end of the day, like, our culture has to continue, and the older we get in this game, it should be like the tribes in Africa. The older you get, the more that you should be saluted.
You should be
throwing. So, you know, I know we got to rush because you guys have to go, but thank you guys so much, man. Make some noise for motherfucking Kid.
We love watching y'all on Vice. So shout out to my man.
We revolt. I'm sorry.
We love Diddy.
We got Puff Daddy money.
No. Big shout out, man. We love the show. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing now that we get to talk to you about it and realize the whole mindset behind it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's right on time. You're teaching the children.
That's right. Anytime.
So we just get a picture and let's drop it. Thank you so much. We applaud that. Okay. Yeah. Picture first. Who you up, Dre?
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.